what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, February the 3rd, 2025. Again, you are listening to American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And it's just the three of us this morning on the program. We don't have any guests lined up, I guess, do we? So it's just going to be us waxing eloquent.
Oh, yeah. I love waxing. Eloquent.
Eloquently.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, Ed. Kind of rock on. What was that song?
Rock on.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes.
Carpenters.
I don't think that was Carpenters, Chris.
Chris.
But it was 70s. It was 70s roller rink music.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I'm trying to remember who sang that. I'm surprised you don't know.
Rock on.
Brent Creeley's going to look it up. I'm not sure. It may be close. The title may be close to some other songs. Brent's looking it up. Not that it's important. We have the whole world being hit with tariffs.
I think this is urgent news. All right. So anyway, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. You got the answer to our music trivia question?
Looks like David Essex.
David Essex. A one-hit wonder.
That's it.
Rock on. Anyway, I remember that. All right. So a lot to talk about today, and we're going to get to it. Let me just first say before we get to the news of the day, thus the name of this show, Today's Issues. We're going to cover today's issues. We have two new radio stations on the air. We've mentioned this before. We would like to tell people multiple days because maybe they have fans, family and friends who live in the area that I'm about to mention who want to know about our new radio stations, American Family Radio stations. We don't buy stations as often as we used to because it's very expensive to do so. So we're very careful about where we buy radio stations. And we just went on the air last week with Birmingham, Alabama. And it's really the downtown south of Birmingham toward all the way almost down to Prattville. Radio station
okay.
that Jamison, Alabama is where the tower is. But anyway, we go all the way to. I was in Birmingham a couple days ago, and I was scanning downtown.
And you could pick it up.
I could pick it up. So it's got a strong signal there, and the signal is 97.7. So again, new station for us on the air at 97.7. Said it covered like 650,000 people.
Yeah, it's a
big
this
station.
Is a good get, if I can put it in those words, for American Family Radio. Now, sometimes people will say, well, how come you don't have a station in such and such a place? Well, first of all, it's expensive to buy radio stations. But also, you can't just say, hey, we want to pick one up in this particular
right.
because the number of places where you can have a radio station
right.
on the dial, what we used to say, is limited.
Right.
And you can't overlap somebody else's signal. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
So you can't
Then the tariffs get involved.
Oh, your tariffs.
You got your Russians get involved. It's a mess.
I have to say, I know you got one more.
Yeah, I got one
here.
More.
Speaking of tariffs, my wife ate the last of a sandwich over the weekend. I was kind of looking forward
right.
to it. When I was watching the hockey
right.
game, so I had to hit her with a tariff.
Yeah.
I had to hit her with a tariff.
Well,
she wanted to get some shoes, and I said, well, I'm adding a 25% tariff. I'm sorry.
I did that.
Yeah.
We ordered a Canadian bacon pizza.
There.
And I said, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. If you think you're going to give me this Canadian bacon without me issuing a tariff on
that's
you got another thing coming.
That's right.
You
know I'm eating American bacon.
American
on
bacon.
My pizza.
In the Gulf of America.
Right there on the Gulf.
All right. So anyway, 97.7 in Birmingham, the greater Birmingham area. And then also Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We just went on the air there with 88.5, which so the signals almost overlap between Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. It's only like 45 minutes between the two cities. Anyway, 88.5 in Tuscaloosa and 97.7 in Birmingham. Those are our two new American Family Radio stations. Let's welcome
welcome
those people.
I used to live south of Birmingham.
Did you? Where'd you live?
I lived in Shelby County, which is like the Hoover area, south of Calera, Alabaster.
Right.
Actually, there is a really nice Bass Pro Shops in the Prattville area. So as you're making your way down there to look at fishing rods, you can listen to us on I-65.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's your first story?
Well, as you've already mentioned here with the tariffs, President Donald Trump is defending his tariffs policy against countries such as Canada, Mexico, and China.
What did he do exactly, for those who haven't heard?
Yes, he is slapping tariffs or taxes on goods made over there and brought over.
Slapping.
There. Slapping them,
okay.
Yes. Now, taxes are, or tariffs are taxes. That's one of the critiques you'll hear from people that are against tariffs policies. Nonetheless, Trump seems to think that this is going to actually help Americans and American workers in the long run because it's going to bring these countries to the table and we're going to negotiate new, better trade policies. And he also says that we are going to open up new places for our workers and companies to do business. So he seems to think we're going to benefit from this, even though people on television today are talking about tariffs being a bad idea. And I do have some audio from the president defending his tariffs policy here. He's at a rope line making his way to one of his aircrafts, and he's talking to reporters here. Clip one.
We may have short term some a little pain, and people understand that. But long term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world. We have deficits with almost every country. Not every country, but almost. And we're going to change it. It's been unfair.
All right. Now, my understanding, neither Tim nor I are economic experts, even though it's hard to tell that when you hear us talk, when we speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my understanding of the way tariffs work, and you do point out, Chris, that it's like a tax. Mm-hmm. So if you have goods coming to the U.S. from Mexico, for example,
right,
or Canada, and they may be able to make those cheaper than U.S. companies, and people therefore buy the Canadian product or the Mexican product, and they don't buy it from a U.S. manufacturer or a U.S. company, slapping a tariff on it, like I think 25% for Mexico and Canada each, that makes those products more expensive. And then people tend to buy the cheaper American product. And so when President Trump says that we have these trade deficits with all kinds of countries, I think he's at least threatening a 10% tariff on Chinese goods.
Correct.
So that trade imbalance that we have is because Americans are buying goods made overseas in Europe or Canada, Mexico, China, and U.S. manufacturers suffer. Now, I know we're going to continue discussing here, and we will be hearing from people who are critical of this, but on Fox, I saw a story as soon as I came in here to the studio that the CEO of the largest steel producer in the U.S. endorsed the tariffs because he said that's good for companies that produce steel here.
Yes.
And the criticism of this trade imbalance between the United States and other countries is that it either hurts American companies or puts them out of business.
That's a good way.
And then we can't rely on U.S. manufacturing if there's a war or there is some sort of problem where we can't get goods into this country.
Right.
So people are saying we need to make these things here.
Yeah, pretty much the two groups of people that are in favor of or opposed to the tariffs are if you're kind of a buy American or we need to make more of our own stuff again, you're in favor of Trump's tariffs. If you are a quote-unquote globalist, you are against things like tariffs because, as they point out, it's going to make things more expensive for consumers here in.
Well, because Canada and Mexico have said they're going to slap tariffs on American goods.
Right.
That we
everybody's
sell.
Slapping.
Oh yeah, a lot of slapping.
It's a slap
going
on.
It's like an episode of the Three Stooges.
Yeah, slapping.
And that's how much slapping's going on.
You don't issue a tariff, you slap it.
You slap it.
So I just saw an article on Fox News website, and I think this just popped up. Somebody slapped it up there on the website.
Was I overdoing it with the slapping?
This is turning into a slapstick show.
All
right, so here's what the article says on Fox News. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs here because this is like breaking news. Mexico has agreed to deploy 10,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexican border in exchange for a one-month delay on President Donald Trump's threatened tariffs. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. Mm-hmm. That sounds so funny. A Sheinbaum being president of Mexico?
Huh? Oh, that's an old timey Mexican word.
Would you expect a Perez or somebody like that? Anyway, Sheinbaum made the announcement on social media Monday morning, roughly 12 hours before the tariffs were set to take effect. Trump and Sheinbaum spoke, again, that's the president of Mexico, spoke on Monday and agreed that Mexico will do more to combat drug trafficking into the U.S. and that the U.S. will step up efforts to block the flow of firearms into Mexico. So they're putting a one-month pause on the tariffs by President Trump against Mexico. So I don't know what's going to happen subsequent to that because it says Mexico has agreed to deploy 10,000 troops on the U.S. border. But it does sound like, at least initially, this is a win for President Trump because he got Mexico to deploy 10,000 troops on the U.S. border they didn't have there.
Yeah, and that's been part of Trump's argument in favor of the tariffs is that his point, his accusation, is that Mexico and Canada have done little to stop the flow of drugs and illegal immigrants into the United States from those countries. And I think that's the justification under some emergency powers that the president is using. And so for Mexico, I don't know how many troops are needed to shut down that border, but it does sound like initially here this is a win for President Trump.
Yes.
For at least for 30 days.
It would be kind of the second related win for him because last month in mid to late January, we had that announcement from Colombia where they initially told the Trump administration, we're not taking these migrants that you're flying back home.
Right.
And then they backed down over things like tariffs.
And Panama, maybe we'll hold that story for later, but that is also, it looks like, a win, at least initially for President Trump. He did not want China being so involved in the running of the Panama Canal or being adjacent to it. China has this Belt and Road Initiative where it comes into countries and spends Chinese money to build infrastructure in exchange for China being able to set up its own influences in that country. So this could be three relatively quick victories for President.
Greenland is now on the clock.
Greenland. All right, so real quick, also Canada, so we switched from Mexico. These were 25% tariffs, I guess, on all products coming into the United States that Canadian and Mexican companies were going to have to pay. Is that correct?
Many, if not most. I don't think it was like everything. He did talk about something involving oil being, you know, judged differently. I forget the exact term.
So anyway, the reaction in Mexico is to, for the president there in Mexico, is to put 10,000 troops on the border to deter illegal immigration from Mexico into the U.S. and also to fight the drug cartels and to bring in fentanyl and other drugs illegally into the United States, of which Mexico would respond, well, if you didn't have so many drug addicts, in your country, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's what China is saying that's your problem. It's not ours, even though I think the raw materials are coming from China into Mexico, where these drug cartels are. I don't know what the process is in quote unquote refining the drug, but.
All right. So with regard to Canada. So I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday who's a Canadian who moved down here. It wasn't Fred. It was somebody else. Fred Jackson is a Canadian who moved to the U.S. many years ago.
Legally.
Yes, legally. But this other person I was talking to said, you know, they're mad. Canadians are angry and upset with Trump and over the 25% tariff. But I don't know enough to... I don't know what Trump's end game is here. I'm sure he has one, but I haven't heard it articulated except maybe I have heard some people say that there is an unfair trade imbalance between the U.S. and Canada because they put tariffs on stuff we try to take in there, and it's an unfair
on some products you're not even allowed to sell them in Canada.
Okay.
Okay, and so
is that what he's upset about, Trump?
Yeah, and he is right. We do have a trade imbalance with most countries because of those countries have their own protectionist policies.
Right. Already.
They're protecting their own companies, and President Trump is saying we're being played as suckers, and so we're going to start protecting companies in our country with tariffs. So, I freely admit I am not up on tariff political science or economic policy.
I've been reading a lot, like the last 6 months.
You have?
Yeah, I was preparing for this moment.
Okay.
But we got plenty of time to go over what I've learned.
Right.
Go ahead, though.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, my initial reaction, I'm just being honest here, my initial reaction to Trump levying these tariffs, at first, I thought he was just kind of bluffing, but I should have learned my lesson long ago. But when he issued these tariffs on Canada and Mexico, my initial reaction was, this is publicly humiliating for these countries. You should have done this behind the scenes. But on the other hand, I think President Trump is right to discuss these imbalances with these countries. And this may be the only way to let them know that he's serious. And I think that doing this publicly may turn out to be the best way of doing it.
What about making Canada our 51st state? Because Trump's still going on that one, too.
Who's got the video... The audio.
Oh, I've got it right here.
Okay.
Now, what have we got audio of?
This is the hockey game?
Yeah. So, for those not aware, the tariffs policy has made its way into the sports world, specifically the sports arena. And I mention that because fans of the Ottawa Senators, which is a Canadian NHL team.
Yes.
The Canadians there booed our national anthem. When
now, let me just kind of explain here that whenever a Canadian team and a U.S.-based team play each other, they sing both national anthems,
yes,
whether it's in Canada or the United States. So this is a game in Ottawa. I don't even know who they were playing. But it was a U.S.-based team. And so when the singer started to sing the U.S. national anthem, right?
Now yes.
You take over.
Yes. Don't take our word for it. Here we go, clip 11.
8-year-old Kyra Daniel.
Now, I've never, ever heard a Canadian Canadians at a hockey game boo the U.S. national anthem. I mentioned that several years ago, the girl, I think it was a young lady who was singing the national anthem, her mic went out, and the Canadians finished the U.S. national anthem as a sign of respect.
Right.
They sang it together, and because the girl's microphone had gone out. So I've never heard Canadians don't they don't boo anybody.
No, they're very. I only know like two angry Canadians, Neil Young and Michael Moore.
Yeah, that's true. Those guys. So this was something. This is really irked Canadians because it is publicly humiliating. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to use it to get these tariffs slapped on you.
Right.
By the president of the United States.
They were playing the Minnesota Wild.
Minnesota Wild. All right.
Well, okay. Trump, President Trump, his personality sometimes can cause people to react in the way the Canadians just reacted to the thing. Not necessarily the content of his actions. But his taunting.
Yeah.
Okay, which he's good at.
Yeah.
I've said this before, Trump likes to pull people's trousers down in public and then point at him and laugh.
Yeah.
And now if he's on your team, you love him.
Yes.
Go get those liberals.
Yeah. Huh? That's right.
Go get those socialists. But if he's not on your team, you're going like, this is absolutely disgusting behavior. Okay.
And so, I got to say, that's kind of New Yorkish. New York.
Yes, that's New York, right? Yeah. So Trump, in this case, not only slaps, here we go again, ladies and gentlemen, and we're not a violent show.
This is not. We're peace loving.
This is metaphorically.
Yes.
Slaps are the like a hockey puck. It gets slapped.
Yes, slap shot.
He slaps Canada with a 25% tariff, I guess, on all products coming into the United States. Here's where he pulls Canada's britches down. He says, and we're going to make you our 51st state.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Even if you, and you're in Canada, you're the economics of the situation is one thing.
Yeah.
But the public humiliation by Big Brother, so to speak, is the big, The U.S. is the economy's, I don't know what it is, 20 times the size of Canada or something like that. So Canada may, in that respect, have a little bit of an inferiority complex.
Yeah.
And Trump says, you got an inferiority complex because you're inferior.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And even if you are, and even if everybody knows that, nobody likes to be humiliated in that way. So when they're booing that singer of the national anthem, they're booing the 25% tariff that Trump issued.
Yeah.
But they're also booing him saying things like, we're going to make them the 51st state. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're so small. You
we'll swallow you up if we need to. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Huh?
And now, let me just say this, in terms of the liberal leadership of Canada, they've been very dismissive to the United States on a number of occasions.
Right.
So
so Trump said two can play this game.
That's right. Exactly right. So I'm now starting to think maybe Trump has done it this way to get some movement on the negotiations. And
he had, that is right.
He'll play nice after he gets his deal.
That's the New York real estate tycoon tactics, and that's what Trump knows, and he uses this to his benefit, and I would say, to the benefit of our country.
Yeah.
Even you may not like some of the things in the way he says it, but like I said, he's got an end goal.
Yeah.
And he
doesn't care if he's not liked. In a sense, I'm sure he doesn't. He doesn't.
Well, he's president now, and
he can't
run again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's Trump unleashed.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He really doesn't care now.
Right.
So he does and he doesn't.
Yeah.
Trump does care some about how he's perceived, but as far as what he's going to do and how he's going to do it as president, he's not going to be encumbered by what the liberal media or the polls or anybody else
says about him. He's going to do what he believes
is
best for our country.
That's right.
Period.
That's right. If it means taking over Greenland, then by golly, get ready, little fishermen, because we're bringing our Navy.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris, and we're here every Monday through Friday. Well, Monday through Thursday, we cover the news of the day, keep you informed on what's happening in our country. And then we also, on Fridays, we have fun with our Trivia Friday show. So look forward to we look forward to that every Friday. You're, again, listening to Today's Issues. If you want to download the AFR app, if you travel and you run out of signal, you listen to American Family Radio on one of our radio towers, our one of the radio stations on the FM dial. I don't know what to call it, but a dial.
Yeah.
But anyway, the FM, you know, place there for radio, and you run out of, then you can just download the app and listen anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, really.
Anywhere you got a good signal.
You got high speed internet, like on your phone or your iPad or whatever like that. Just listen. A lot of people listen on the app, the AFR app. People are doing that more and more and more and more.
And they love it.
They love it.
They love the experience.
Go to the app store on your smartphone, download AFR, take about a minute and a half, 2 minutes at the most. And then you can click on there and listen to this network anywhere you go, and that's what people are doing. And that's been a game changer for us.
And for most vehicles, you Bluetooth or otherwise, maybe Apple Play or whatever, with your radio and your sound system in your car, and it just goes right to it. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
my wife Allison showed me that the other day. You know, that's been around.
She just now showed it to you?
Showed me the Bluetooth thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm catching on. How many years behind am I?
About 7, but that's all right.
My family bought me a speaker for Christmas to play music or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Y'all wear these things?
Oh, yeah.
Wear them. Or aware of them?
Aware of them?
Yeah. I have one in my bathroom when I get ready.
Okay.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Bluetooth speaker.
So you got an AFR, so you can listen AFR on that.
Yeah.
Speaker or anything else you want to listen to, but I was and take that speaker anywhere you go to.
Yeah.
So, and listen to, as you say, a Bluetooth.
Right.
Did you know that the Bluetooth?
What did
name
I say
actually,
something wrong?
You said you listened to a Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Is that not what you now how you say it?
We should probably just
via Bluetooth.
Via Bluetooth. Yeah. That's
okay.
Did you know that was actually named after somebody?
Bluetooth?
It was, yes.
What's the story behind that, Chris?
Bluetooth is named after a 10th century Viking king named Harald Bluetooth Gormsum. He had a tooth, some sort of dental problem, and the tooth was in his mouth and looked kind of blue. And this is widely documented, including even on the Bluetooth website.
That's a very famous Viking raider.
You know that?
Leader.
That Bluetooth Viking you're talking about?
He may or may not have spent time in Greenland.
Well, I tell you what he did do. He slapped tariffs on Ireland.
He sure did.
And you read about history.
Yes, absolutely.
You read about
and because they couldn't pay it, he invaded.
He invaded.
The Bluetooth. So you might want to be listening up, Canada.
Yeah, Bluetooth didn't play. You know what I'm saying? Bluetooth, he slapped those tariffs on Ireland, and then he said, Irish said, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he, Sean Amigada, you bring it.
We'll send our unicorn army over there after you if you invade us, Mr. Viking man.
Yeah.
All right, let's go next story. Hey, listen, switching to a more serious note, we do like to have a little fun on this show, if you haven't noticed. But I do want to switch to a more serious and somber note now is because I want to talk about the what we know about the plane. We had two plane crashes.
Yes.
That made national news in the last week. Obviously, the one in Philadelphia is the latest one, what, 3 or 4 days ago. Very tragic story there. It's a private jet, Learjet, that went down and killed, what, 4 or 5 people?
Yes.
Including a young lady who was a girl, really, who was in Philadelphia for life-saving treatment. And I guess she was on her way home with her mom on this private jet to somewhere in Mexico. And the plane crashed. Did they know why that plane crashed, Chris?
It's still under investigation. I'm looking at a story today from New York Post. It says, patient 11 and others ID'd in Philadelphia jet crash as investigators find black box buried 8 feet in the ground at the impact site. So we'll find out more probably by the end of the week in terms of what they think was a cause, or at least in a preliminary investigation.
You know, the most dangerous time for small aircraft, and maybe true for jetliners too, but is taking off and landing.
Mm-hmm.
Landing
is my least favorite part of the flight.
Yeah, but you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you better stick this, man. We've been up here the whole time.
And if they don't?
I'll be with Jesus.
Right. <Amen. laughs> I just got a little humor out of you saying you tell the pilot you better stick.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, or
stick
else
the landing,
or
yeah.
else. So it, you know, I have been on. I remember one specific occasion where I'm about to describe this happened, which was jarring, and I'm trying to remember. Maybe it happened twice in my lifetime, but I'm a veteran flyer. I fly jets probably 7 or 8 times a year. Okay.
You fly on them.
Yeah. Fly on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not a pilot. Yes. Good point. And I've flown into Reagan Airport, gosh, 100 times or more over my lifetime. And it is very convenient to downtown Washington, D.C. and to Virginia. I mean, it's 10 minutes from the Capitol. Cab ride, 15 minutes. So it's very convenient. Mm-hmm. Talking about, but I remember about 2 years ago, Allison and I went to Miami. And we were landing at the Miami airport. Got down to probably within, 200 or 300 feet of the runway. And then the jet pulled up straight into the sky, straight up. Like, what do you call those things when you...
The G-force?
Almost like G-force. Our gums are going back in our face. It was... Now, they said that it was because of winds. Okay, high winds.
Kind of wind shear?
Yeah, like a wind shear.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think that it was because of a near miss of another aircraft. But I don't know. I'm just going on.
They're not going to tell you.
Huh?
They're not going to tell you.
I know. They're going, sorry about that, people.
Yeah.
Wind
shear.
We just barely missed our plane falling out of the sky.
Right. Huh? A collision with
another. We'll be there in a few minutes. We're going to circle around the Everglades here.
And thank you for flying Delta.
Yeah.
Shout out to our gold members.
Don't say we don't give you a little excitement every once in a while. But anyway, what I'm saying is that was Now, terrifying. It was like a jarring experience. You're like going, what just happened? Of course, at the time, you didn't know. But I'm just, there are, it's a wonder that we don't have more air traffic crashes and incidences than we do in America with all the flights. Have you ever looked at the
FlightAware,
the computer model of all the, and I don't even know if that includes private planes. That's just jets flying all over our country.
It's now my understanding is because it looks like how in the world do you land in an airport with all these flights? Now they do. It is three dimensional.
Yeah, that's on true. Screen, that's true. I know.
You know, it's two dimensional. So it is three dimensional in real life where you have, you know, at 1,000 feet, 5,000 feet, and those planes on a screen look like they're stacked up on each other, but it's still a lot of flights.
Yeah. Now, am I the only one who has read about the story with the crash in at Reagan Airport in Washington, which is the loss of life there was how 67,
many? 67, I think.
Wow.
And they still have, they're still have 12 missing.
They're still out there this morning.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Just heartbreaking. Okay. We all heard about this and saw that. But am I the only one who thought, what in the world is a helicopter doing training around a major airport, commercial airport, where planes, if you've ever been in Washington, D.C., or in Northern Virginia there, you hear the jets come over every 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The roar. In fact, when we go to the Lincoln Memorial on our tour, Stephen McDowell, our speaker, our historian who goes with us on our tours, he has to stop talking for about 30
so
seconds.
Loud.
About every 4 minutes, 5 minutes, he has to stop talking because it's so loud from the jets coming over from Reagan. Either coming into, most of the time it's leaving, but coming in or leaving, because they're flying over right over the Potomac, which is where this crash took place. But I guess I'm just saying that I just find it hard to believe that we've got helicopter. Why don't they put the helicopters, again, I'm speaking out of complete and total ignorance of the reasons why that may be the case. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, but it just, does that not strike y'all? You have helicopters in that can get anywhere near the pathway of commercial liners landing and taking off at a major airport like that.
It seems weird.
It does, just because human error is going to result in tragedy. It's not human error is going to result in, okay, you're going to have to do a little more training because you didn't stick the landing. Mm-hmm. But the human error, which may be the explanation for the
it appears
crash,
so. Yeah,
that is going to result in disaster. Now, my understanding also is that they're supposed to have different limits on how high the helicopter's supposed to go. So the argument in defense of the training is we've got to have training over major metropolitan areas because that's how what the military will have to fly those kinds of flights, but we don't let them go. They have a ceiling, and they're not supposed to be in the way of each other, helicopters and jetliners. The problem is, except for human error, and if that's what happened here, then that's you're going to have 67 deaths, maybe more. If that had been a jetliner with 200 aboard, now the numbers are up.
You know, I mean, Marine Force One, the giant green helicopter that flies the president to, like, Joint Air Force Base Andrews or whatever it's called. I mean, like, I thought of that when, I mean, the president, he always gets taken off by helicopter whenever
right.
he leaves the White House. And that's just one of several things flying or at least or up in the air. I know there's a no-fly zone, but still, there's planes everywhere.
Yeah.
It's got to be nerve-wracking.
Hopefully, we're going to find out more about this. There's also talk I don't know if you were going to discuss this. We probably talked it out.
Let me just tell folks what they're listening to here again. You're listening to Today's Issues. This is the American Family Radio Network you're listening to. We thank you for joining us for this program and for listening to AFR throughout the day, American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Chris. Chris, go ahead with I'm sorry, did I interrupt your question?
Yeah, it wasn't a question. I was just going to say that what we will be hearing during the investigation of the Reagan crash, there has been some talk, including from the president himself, that DEI policies entered into the hiring of people for, for who handle the flights, air traffic control, and maybe even in this military helicopter.
Yes.
But I don't want to – that was the president saying that may have something to do with it. But that is a discussion we're going to hear play out over the next couple of weeks.
The morning of, hours after the crash, President Trump came on. We were actually on the air, and he quickly said DEI was to blame. At least two news outlets on our TV here were quick to say that Trump, without evidence, blames DEI.
How did he have evidence?
Well, he went on to say that basically DEI was to blame, and over the course of various explanations after that moment, he went on to talk about how it was either the crew or staffing issues at the airport control tower in terms of having DEI policies.
Can I give you my opinion on this?
We don't know.
It's probably going to be against the opinion of the majority of our listeners.
Okay.
Because anytime you disagree with President Trump, you get the wrath. You get the wrath of a lot of people.
Right.
So I agree with President Trump in the sense that there's a time and place for bringing this up as a problem, this DEI, which he is doing a great job of opposing.
Yes.
Diversity,
equity, and inclusion.
Which basically means you hire people based on,
identity,
and not whether they're the most qualified for the job or not. That's basically what that is. And you do something like that in a job role like an air traffic controller, it could be disastrous. And right. I think that's what he was saying. I just don't think President Trump should bring that up the first thing right out of the chute when people are dragging people out of the water. And bodies everywhere. I just don't think you know what I'm saying. You understand?
No,
what I'm saying?
I agree. I think this week should have been the time to discuss that.
Yes, yes.
And here's part of the problem. What Chris is saying, and I remember last week while we were on air, it was MSNBC and CNN saying without evidence, President Trump blames DEI. Well, it may very well turn out to be the case that DEI did have something to do with it, and President Trump knew that, but he didn't give that evidence when he made the statement. Because my question for MSNBC and CNN is, how do you know he doesn't have evidence? You don't know what the cause is. Maybe the President of the United States does. But when you're going to talk about DEI have something to do with the crash, that's when you need to present your evidence. You need to be able to say.
Don't do it the night of or the day after.
Absolutely.
Right.
And folks, I know, like Tim said, you don't want us criticizing the president. Our job here at the radio station, just like MSNBC is a spokesperson for the Democratic Party, we're not a spokesperson for the Republican Party or the Trump administration.
Call them like you see them.
We got to call them like we see it. That's part of our job is to tell the truth as we see it. No, we can be wrong, but I agree. I think he should not. That was not the right time to bring it out. You wait maybe until this week. I've seen on X people talking about the woman pilot, the military pilot on the helicopter. Was she the one? Was she qualified to be flying that mission?
Or is it a DEI consideration? Well, I do know that there has been for a few years now a lawsuit. Y'all see what I'm talking about?
I have posted this on Facebook.
Okay, go ahead and tell them what I'm talking about here.
Oh, okay. Let me click it up. All right, so it is a Newsweek article, and the headline is, Did FAA Reject Air Traffic Controllers Based on Race? Here is what we know. This is something involving an individual that has claimed that he was denied or discriminated against from being an airport traffic controller because he happens to be a white male, and the FAA, at the time he filed the lawsuit, was looking to hire minorities and people of color.
When would this have been?
Under Obama.
Yes, this is about 2014,
right? Yeah. So to President Trump's point, okay, about DEI, there has been a lawsuit going on. Maybe it's still going on. You know, lawsuits.
I think
it
is.
They can last a century or more. You know, a lot of lawsuits can.
They get delayed a lot.
So this lawsuit where this gentleman says, "Hey, I wasn't hired because I was a white male." Mm-hmm. I wasn't hired as an air traffic controller, and so I don't know why there's been no resolution to that case. But anyway, that's a class action lawsuit against the federal government, dating back to the Obama years, right?
Yeah.
So there has been an argument made publicly by some that they were denied, a job opportunity as a air traffic controller. Despite having an excellent score on their
100%,
because they were the FAA was placing identity politics over scores on tests or qualifications. That's the argument made, and that goes to the heart of what President Trump was talking about. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives are one of the many things people are criticizing Democrats for pushing in recent years, and it's gotten to the point where some Democrats have left the party over things like woke platforms. Here is one example of a guy named Gary Francione, if I said his name correctly. He's from the New Jersey area, and he was on Fox earlier today. And the reason he was on is because Democrats have just elected new leaders for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. For example, Minnesota resident Ken Martin was elected the new head of the Democratic Party. You've got David Hogg as vice chair. But they brought out former Dem Gary Francione to talk about how Democrats have messed up by pushing woke stuff. Clip 5.
I'm a liberal pluralist in the sense that I believe that, you know, people ought to live and look and love how they wish. But I don't think that, you know, that freedom extends to when you're harming others. And I think when you're going into women's toilets or being on their sports teams or getting into their, you know, shower rooms or changing rooms or prisons or whatever, I think that's problematic. And I think, unfortunately, the Democratic Party has moved from being a party that was focused on class issues and on the disparity between rich and poor, and has gone into sort of this identity politics, and it just got too much. I was overwhelmed with the reaction, the Democratic reaction to that bill. I thought was just deplorable.
Yeah. And
who's that?
That's a guy named Gary Francione.
Say goodbye to your life.
What show was that on?
It was on Fox and Friends.
Fox and
I'll
Friends.
Share our link on our.
You
page.
Know, I think we're going to look back at this area up this time of the last. I don't even want to say the last 10 years, really, during the first Trump administration, when the Democrats started pushing this really, really hard, but especially during the Biden administration, that the transgender movement, I don't want to say will be the death of the LGBTQ movement, but it is going to result in its influence shrinking, maybe collapsing, because it's just a bridge too far with this former Democrat.
We were just hearing a Democrat spokesperson, basically.
He said, I don't want men in women's bathrooms and changing areas and on girls' teams.
Right.
And that's just a bridge too far for most Americans.
Okay.
And if the Democratic Party is going to continue to push that and everybody's going to see transgender, that's what the T stands for, and LGBTQ, then the homosexual movement may see its influence wane.
Can I differentiate just a little bit between the two? I think that gay and lesbian, now I don't know, the B is a bisexual. Is that in there, LGBT?
Yeah, it is.
It is too. Listen, the gay and lesbian movement in this country has gotten everything they want. There's nothing more to conquer. All right?
Except they don't want churches preaching.
Yeah. Yeah, but
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I would say most gay and lesbian people don't care about that. They, you know, they just don't. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
You do have your hardcore activists who want to shut down Christianity.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would say your gay and lesbian people just they're not interested in hating Christians. Okay. That's my opinion. All right. They disagree with us and they don't like us, and some of them call us haters.
Yeah.
I'm making an analysis of where that movement is today. They basically got everything they want. All right. I'm talking about the gay and lesbian side of it. Mm-hmm. All right. You got marriage. They're in the military. Non-discrimination, they're included.
You have whole departments on college and university campuses.
They've got major Christian denominations, which accept homosexuals as leaders now. So they got about everything they want the last 20 years, all right? Now you're pushing for something that people who would say, I'm supportive of gay and lesbian rights, quote, I'll leave that sort of undefined, would also say boys playing girls sports is completely and totally unfair, and we all know it. So, no, I'm not for that part of the trans movement.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to do – and I'm not for doing mutilation on children. If somebody wants to try to change their physical sex after they're an adult, then they can go for it. But not children. Not children, because the damage that can do – to their bodies and to their psyche is tragic. We'll be back. We'll finish this after this break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.